I believe Abraham understood that his God was the God of the impossible. Even when he went to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, he was expecting God to do something miraculous. Even though the Bible is silent about this, I've wondered, what did Abraham expect God to do? On a side note, when the Bible is silent about things, we can speculate for sure. But the fact still remains that we can't build sound doctrine from a platform of silence. Did you get that? I want to say it again. The fact still remains that we can't build sound doctrine from a platform of silence. In the meantime of waiting for God to accomplish His word to us, though, we must hold the line and not faint, believing the Lord will do all that He has said and more. Maybe Abraham expected God to raise Isaac from the dead. I don't know. But whatever he expected, we do know Abraham said he and Isaac would both be coming back, as noted from Genesis 22, verse 5. Abraham knew his God was more than able to take care of any impossible situation. Isaac was the son of promise, and no matter what, God would make his promise come to pass. What impossible situation are you facing today? I'm sure some of us have waited for what feels like a ridiculous amount of time. Are you determined, though, to follow the Lord regardless of how things turn out? Remember, God is still solving impossibilities for us, just like He did for Abraham. A dear friend of mine said he and his wife were in a terrible fix, although by the skin of their teeth their needs were being met with nothing to spare. All in all, they didn't feel like the Lord was anywhere to be found. He felt exhausted and his wife was near to fainting. He said they'd been desperately praying for months and months, that they had diligently fasted, fervently repented, declared good things, rebuked unseen bad things, claimed promises, and that his hope and faith were worn down to dried out bones. Yet there he sat, and nothing had changed. One day I called him, and he said for months he'd been begging the Lord to come and save him. Then, in a most pitiful voice, he said, "I feel like a little boy at the orphanage waiting for his father to come pick him up. And day after day, no one shows up, and there is just the sound of wind, empty halls, and rain against the window panes." From where I was sitting, even in all his terrible circumstances, at the core of his person was a little light of hope that kept rekindling itself somehow, like a flame bound to a coal, and it just refused to go out. He kept holding on to the Lord, knowing that man, himself, can fix nothing, and really only God could help. Often we all have nobly said that we know only God can fix things, but yet often we are a nervous wreck and can't sleep because what we say we know and what we really know are two different things. Mind you, my friend didn't do anything wrong. He's not a crook or a liar. He's not a manipulator or a transgressor. He's not greedy or stupid. I'm saying that for any listeners who would feel the need to go down the list of sins as to why unfortunate things happen to good people. Some would easily throw out a "one scripture fixes all" statement, but that doesn't help. I'll tell you what I see, and I hope my friend is listening. I see a man and woman who are long-suffering and holding on to Jesus, knotting their hands in the hem of His garment for all they're worth, determined to go with the Lord. I see two people who keep waiting on the Lord because they truly believe Jesus will come and lift their hearts, and He will. I see two people who are kind and gentle, smart and intuitive, who love honesty and truth. I see the fruit of the Spirit in them, and it's how I know they are in the fellowship of the saints. I know they don't feel much like that considering where they are right now. And I understand that when we get in a terrible spot and see no way out, life seems impossible. But it doesn't matter in the moment how we got there, but more that God knows exactly where we are, and He will come and rescue us. Friends who are in desperate places, yes, you. I admire your patient endurance and your determination to not be moved, your long suffering. For it is not a test so God will know what you're made of, but so you will know what you're made of for the purpose of going where people are the most desperate and giving them hope.